My name is Kent Nagano, and I'm the music director of the Montreal Symphony Orchestra and also the general music director of the state of Hamburg, Germany, where I'm the music director of the state opera and also the state Philharmonic Orchestra.
Tell me about growing up. Did you grow up in Morro Bay, and where? And how do you know this particular peak, Cerrito Peak?
Yes, our whole family grew up in Morro Bay, and my father was also born in Morro Bay and obviously then grew up in the area. So we have quite long roots in the area. Growing up in Morro Bay was a very special place because it was so cosmopolitan. It was an area that became culturally very deep and very rich because of the waves of immigration that came over, particularly at the end of the 19th century. Our neighbors were from Italian Switzerland, from France, from Germany, from Holland, Italy. There were such strong waves of immigration for a number of reasons, some of them for political reasons, but many of them for economic reasons, looking for a new chance, a new life. And that was the case with my family, the Nagano family. They came over from Japan looking for new opportunities, looking for a new chance to realize a dream, to raise a family. And the resulting cosmopolitan texture was really a lesson in anthropology or sociology. The community got along very well, and we, all of us as children, grew up enjoying going to each other's homes and getting to know various different European cultures, or in the case of our friends who came to our house, they got to know some Japanese cultural traditions. So that made growing up in Morro Bay, which at that time was very wild in terms of nature. The mountains were undeveloped. The rivers were flowing, and our particular farm flowed directly out into the sea. So the feelings of the Pacific Ocean, its wildness and its very dramatic character, the storms and the violent waves, together with the mountains, made for a very romantic and cultural diverse upbringing. My great fortune was having now one of the most famous and recognized professors of music, Vakhtang Qureshvili, was one of the immigrants who came. He came over during the Second World War, the fading years of the Second World War, as a refugee. And he had received his training in Tbilisi, Georgia, which was a part of the Moscow Conservatory tradition, and then completed his studies in Munich at the very famous Munich Conservatory. So he brought these traditions to Morro Bay, California. He was my piano teacher and my orchestra director and also the church choir director. And because of this very strong German and Russian disciplined way of learning music, well, at least for me, I see that as the main reason why then later as an adult and a trained musician, I was able to have than a career that took me to Europe.
Just to back up a little bit, when people came over, what kind of jobs did they do? What were people working at? What did your family do?
Well, primarily in the Morro Bay area, the families that settled there had occupations that tied them to the land. So specifically, our family, they were farmers. They came from the southern island of Kyushu, and they had a family farm there. But at the time, which again is the 1800s, the traditions in Japan would be that the eldest son would inherit the family business or the family farm. And as was the case of my grandfather, there were many brothers. For the younger brothers, options were rather limited. They could either work for their older brother or try to go off and somehow make a living through menial jobs. That's why the younger brothers decided to come to America to see if they could somehow establish their own farming community. And that's what my grandfather did. But the several families from Italy came, as I mentioned, particularly from Sicily, and they formed the backbone of the fishing industry all along the coast of California. The families still are very present in San Francisco, Moss Landing, Santa Cruz, Morro Bay. These great Italian fishing families brought a real tradition. There were a number of the Swiss brought over dairy farming traditions, cattle ranching traditions. The Germans who lived nearby, they had an enterprise dealing with horses, also dealing with cattle. So these were professions very much tied to agriculture or tied to the land. I think when you live in a community that is so much tied to nature or the land, just naturally speaking, the community draws together in a very close way because you need each other to survive. And so land and sea, all growing up together, that made Morro Bay very special.
And tell me about this particular peak that this concert is for, Cerrito Peak. Did you live near it? Did you climb on it as a kid?
Cerrito Peak is one of the geographical landmarks of Morro Bay. It's a volcanic plug. Lava spewed up from the inner core of the earth and then hardened in prehistoric times. The peak was then considered a sacred ground to the Chumash Indians, a place that had special mystical powers. And if you walk around Cerrito Peak today and look at Eagle Rock, you can still see traces of the Indians' culture and the Indian civilization that were there in the forms of rock carvings, various ceremonial divots that were cut into the rock. And through this, you can trace, or at least historians have traced, that that particular area had a spiritual significance for the Indians. And it's not surprising because from that outcrop, the view of the bay is extraordinary. You can look out to the sea. It's in line with Morro Rock, kind of a very miniature form of Morro Rock. And the perspective from just simply looking out from this outcrop is very dramatic and picturesque. We, at a certain point in the late 1960s, the family moved off of the farm when we kids were growing up to be a little bit closer to Morro Bay High School. And we moved onto what I would say the shoulder of Eagle Rock. At the time, Eagle Rock was considered really a natural part of Morro Bay heritage. So nobody built on Eagle Rock at all. It was kept completely free of development. But on the shoulder or on the lowland surrounding Eagle Rock is where our home was built. And we were part of a necklace of houses that sort of went all around the shoulder of Eagle Rock. The issue now is whether or not Eagle Rock will be completely covered by development. And for those of us who are very close to it and cherish the Morro Bay natural beauty, it's clear that losing this, which is one of the few places which are still visible as a natural preserve of Morro Bay, it would become pretty much invisible to the naked eye. And the question is whether or not this sort of development is really necessary. Must it come at the cost of the identity of Morro Bayans and the identity that we attach to the Morro Bay traditions?
Finally, how did you get involved in this? Were you home in Morro Bay when somebody just came up and said, hey, will you play this concert for us? Or how did you get involved in putting on this concert?
Well, it was a bit of coincidence. And I felt a little bit reserved because even though my family still lives in the area, some in Morro Bay, my mother lives in San Luis Obispo, I myself personally, when I moved away to go to university, even though I come back several times a year to visit the family, I've made my home in other places. Right now, I live primarily in Paris, San Francisco, Hamburg, and Montreal. So in a way, for those of us who grew up in the small town way of thinking, it's important not to somehow get involved in other people's business. It's important to keep things really to allow a certain privacy to take place. But I had read in the newspaper about the development that was taking place, planned development for Eagle Rock, and I did take the liberty of writing an editorial. I sent in an article that was based upon whether or not it was not the time to really question whether development in that particular way, which is at the expense of national heritage or Morro Bay heritage, if that really is the appropriate thing to do when development. Obviously, we live in a modern world and development can and will take place. But is it really necessary to destroy those particular sites of natural heritage that we as local community members draw a certain reflection of ourselves from? So I did write an opinion piece and sent it into the San Luis Obispo Tribune, and it was published. And because of this, I was contacted by many years later by Mr. Glenn Siloway, and he represented a group of concerned businessmen of the community of Morro Bay that also felt that it was important to really preserve those parts of Morro Bay which are still in its natural state of beauty and not allow it to succumb to unbridled development. And so from Mr. Siloway and for the group of people whom he represents came the suggestion that somehow all supporters of this particular preservation movement, that they participate in some way. And that was when the idea of a concert was developed. Concert was meant partially as a fundraiser, but mostly just to bring awareness to the community of Morro Bay that this particular topic should be questioned and debated and discussed, whether or not is the appropriate way for Morro Bay to develop as a community.